In a neat two-story house in suburban Las Vegas, Lee Hazelwood remembered getting his start in radio in the 1950s at a small station in Coolidge, Arizona. While Hazelwood was spinning discs, he was also writing songs.
I used to spend $9.99 for a round-trip ticket to Los Angeles on the bus. And I knew a couple of publishers over there. I got in, and they liked me, but they didn't like my songs. They just thought that they were awful.
Rejection became a blessing when Hazelwood started writing music for one of his listeners, a young guitarist by the name of Duane Eddy. The Duane Eddy and Lee Hazelwood collaborations became hits. Because Hazelwood published them himself, he collected the royalties.
I was writing songs that nobody cared about. Then when I recorded them, then they cared about them. They bought them. That's how you become an independent producer.
By the early 1960s, Hazelwood was in Los Angeles working with Dean Martin, Petula Clark, and Dusty Springfield, among others. But just a few years later, Hazelwood heard the Beatles and Motown all over the radio and no longer heard a place for himself in pop music. So he took a break. Then one day, a neighbor asked Hazelwood to produce just one session for his boss's daughter. The neighbor's boss was Frank Sinatra. The session produced a hit for Nancy Sinatra called So Long, Babe, but it was the next song that changed their lives.
You keep saying you got something for me.
Hazelwood thought the song was a little too risque for the 25-year-old, whose record label was pushing a wholesome image.
You've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin'.
Nevertheless, once Hazelwood decided to record it, he had very specific instructions for Sinatra in the studio.
Sing it like a 14-year-old girl who goes with truck drivers.
These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
Many fans thought Sinatra and Hazelwood were romantically linked. Nancy Sinatra says the fact that they were not was critical to the success of their records.
The sexual tension was always there. You can cut it with a knife, and that's probably why it came across like that on record. If it had actually been physically expressed, it probably wouldn't have been there on the records.
We got married in a fever.
The financial independence that came from writing and producing hits for others allowed Hazelwood to give his maverick spirit its own voice, his.
To their party, they never invite me. Even my own dog bites me, and they call me ugly brown.
These solo records and Hazelwood's fiercely independent streak endeared him to a generation of rockers in the 1980s and 90s that included Nirvana's Kurt Cobain and a young drummer and staffer at Sub Pop Records named Mark Pickerel, who says they all loved the way Hazelwood manipulated his success to thumb his nose at the record business.
It afforded him the luxury of making the kind of records he wanted to make, not worrying about whether they were successful or not, because he was already receiving royalty checks, so it was probably pretty liberating for him.
Late last year, Lee Hazelwood released a new CD that included the eerily prophetic song T.O.M., The Old Man.
And his mind wonders what forever will bring. In this place they call forever, will there be any songs to sing?
Maybe they do sing songs over there in forever, I don't know. And maybe you don't.
If they do, Lee Hazelwood is already writing them. Felix Contreras, NPR News.